We really should be. But it's good to have a special time of year. You know, if you've noticed, the commercial world jump from Halloween to Christmas.
It's hard to make a lot of money off of thankful people. And so let's jump from candy sales over here to candy sales and packaging, gift wrapping. And I understand the commercial world, but for you and for me, we have much to be thankful for. And this time of year in November, it's a special time. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You may have memorized a scripture or two out of this passage. I want you to look at verse 8, because we're going to think about some thankful thoughts tonight. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. You know, saying thank you is really a response. It's a response that we have when we recognize someone has done something for us. We recognize what they have done, and so we respond in thankfulness. And as it pertains to that and what the Bible's talking about here, when we do stop to count our blessings, when we stop to consider, we stop to have some perspective, those thoughts really do have a difference on our heart. I was the other day I was somewhere and a guy asked me, he says, "You look like you're deep in thought." And I said, "Well, I'm self-counseling." And you know what self-counseling is? It's when you pause in the midst of everything and you remind yourself of truth. We know a lot of truth. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of truth, counting our blessings, what God has done for us. Yes, there's three thankful thoughts I want to share with you. And the first one is this: as believers, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, if you're here and you've heard the gospel, you heard that you were a sinner, you recognize that, you know, the wages of sin is death. And that means after life, God's going to punish my sin and I'm going to be punished. But I don't like that, and there's nothing I can do about it. But God, while I was yet a sinner, He died for me on the cross. And you heard about that, that Jesus, God the Son, came to earth. He was born and He died for your sins, paid them completely. And that if you'll accept Him, you can be saved. And you heard that and accepted it, and you're a child of God. If that is the case, then you have truly much to be thankful for tonight. God has done much good on our behalf, so much good. And choosing to think about that really influences us. You know, the truth is, good and evil do exist in the world. And I don't know how your day went today. It might have been a good day. But guess what? If it was a good day today, you might have a bad day tomorrow. There are good days and there are bad days. There are days when you're sick and there are days when you're well. There are easy days and there's hard days. And there's, you could put it this way, there are some evil days. In fact, the Bible says the days are evil in the last times. There is evil in the world. And Christian, if you and I are not careful, we can be so surrounded by the resounding, just the exposure to evil. We can see it. We can witness it. You turn on the news and that's all you see, because that's what makes headlines, is people victimizing one another and this crime and that crime and this scandal. And if you're not careful, it will infect us. It will affect us, influence us to the point that we become depressed. We withdraw and we forget how much God is actually doing. Because the truth of the matter is, while there is evil in the world, there is also much good in this world. Much good. Much good done on your behalf. And whether you realize it or not is really up to you. That's why the Bible tells us to think on these things. This is what you're in control of. Channeling your thoughts. You're in control of what you feed yourself. What influence? You know as well as I do, when you turn on the television, that you can make the choice, okay? You have kids in the house, they're going to try and control that, but you decide what you watch. And there are some things that are discouraging, so don't watch them. You know it's true. You know it's true. Yeah, exercise control. Preach it, brother. Turn the channel. We control what we watch and what we feed ourselves. Choose and what we see. Thank you, Ashley. And so choose to focus on, to think on, to read, to watch, to feed your spirit sources of God's goodness. If it is Christian that you want to remain in a thankful state, then remind yourself regularly of those things that you have to be thankful for. And they are truly bountiful. When we focus on the goodness of God, we can rejoice in the Lord. We have much to be thankful for. Sometimes we forget it. Because there's bad days. But even on the worst day, if you're a child of God, you have a home in heaven. Amen. Right? On my worst day, I'm still saved. You know, somebody might say, Pastor, how you doing? And I say, well, I'm still saved. You might know what kind of day it is, okay? But it's still a good day. As believers, we have much to be thankful for. I think the second thought is this. The good God of eternity is our God, and that never changes. Not only has God done much good for you, but the relationship that you have with Him, if you're saved and He is your God, you know, there are people that worship gods all over the world tonight, and you realize there's only one that is real. What a tragedy that there are people pouring their lives into the worship of false gods. A tragedy. It's sad. You know, we can share the gospel, and we ought to, and have a good witness to them. But I'll tell you something that's not sad, and that's that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the God of the universe, and that never changes. Never changes. In Hebrews 13:5, take your Bibles and turn over there. Sometimes you have euphemisms or figures of speech that you have to change. You used to be able to say when something was true, and you can take that to the bank. Well, guess what? The banks needed a bailout several years back. I wouldn't take it to the bank sometimes. You know, I not trust them. But I do know what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation, that's the way that you conduct yourself, your life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's read that last part together. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what that means? It means that when you feel like you're forsaken of God, it's just a feeling, it's not reality. He hasn't forsaken you. Many times it is, yeah. Our relationship with the Lord, listen, it's secure. And it's to be our foundation for thanksgiving. When the Bible commands us to be thankful, do you realize it doesn't command us to be thankful in the things that are temporary, temporal? The things that most often, now I'm not really getting on your case, but most of the time when we have a praise or when we're thankful for something, it's tied to this temporary life. I'm not trying to be ugly or anything, so don't take it that way. This is not an accusation. It's just stating our human nature. Most of the time when we have a praise, it's, I got well over this sickness. Well, guess what? You might get sick again. God answered my prayer, and now I have a job. Okay, but that solves a temporary issue. I got a new car. How long is that going to last? And so all these things are blessings. They really are, and it's a good thing. It's a blessing to see God answer our prayers. But you know what? What happens when my car is bad, or you know, my body starts rebelling, or you know, the money runs out? Even on those days, Christian, you know what the Bible says? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because that will never change. And if everything else is stripped away from your life and you lose everything, you cannot lose the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we forget that. I think of what the Scripture says. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Sometimes things happen and we draw the wrong conclusion because of our limited human logic. James chapter 1, verse 16. He's writing to people that are going through just terrible persecution. The dispersed church because of persecution. And he says, do not err. That means draw the wrong conclusion. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, the one who created this world. Every good gift finds its source in God. Every good gift finds its source in God. And you know what? What does it go on to say? It says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God created this creation, and we enjoy it. And you go out and you see a nice sunrise, right? We enjoy it. You try taking pictures of it, and the picture never comes out like the sunrise does. You know, God created a better camera. It's right here. But we go out and we enjoy the creation. We enjoy the sunrise. We enjoy the nature. But did you know that sometimes nature rebels? I was watching a video today of a tsunami where this wave came. People love the waves, but sometimes waves are deadly. They enjoy the sunshine, but you know, you stay out in too long, you get skin cancer. Sometimes the sun doesn't shine. God created those good things, but unlike those good things, our God never changes. They do change, and some days the sun doesn't shine like it should, but our God is always good. That's the distinction the Scripture is making. With whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with a word of truth. Salvation did not come up within the heart of man realizing that we needed something. God reached down and He saw before the foundation of the world that man would fall to sin and need a Savior. And He planned salvation through Jesus Christ. Before the world began, He knew you and He desired you. And that's the God we worship. And if you're His child, it says we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. Every good thing finds its source in God, and God never changes. You know, I think about this too in this one thought. Everything truly good is eternal. If it finds its source in God, everything truly good is eternal, and everything bad is temporary. Do you realize that one day God will right all wrongs? He will. He will judge all evil. Sometimes we see evil and I know I'm not supposed to desire vengeance, God. I know the Bible says vengeance is mine. I will repay. And you say, well, God, can you maybe use me to do it? I know. Okay, I've been that way. I know, God, you're going to judge them, but maybe I can be part of it.
If you would let me.
Yeah, right. Ashley knows. One day God's going to do that. He's going to render to every man according to his works perfect justice. And in the end, evil is temporary and true good is eternal. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Last book in the Bible, all the way at the end, Revelation 22. I'm just going to begin reading. This is what it talks about in eternity. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He's talking about heaven here, the home of all who have accepted Christ as their Savior. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The same tree that was in the Garden of Eden, by the way, which was damaged when sin came into the world. So what does God do? He has one in heaven. No sin in heaven. There shall be no more curse. See, right there. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. That's those who have accepted Christ. We are His servants. We will serve God for eternity, free of sin and its curse, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The good God of eternity is our God, and that means that what you have in Him lasts forever. You can rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of bad circumstances, you can remember, you know what? These circumstances are not eternal. But what I have in God is. And that brings me to the third thought. It's that not just that it's eternal, but it's what He's doing in us. I'll turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. right after the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. One of the good things that God is doing in our lives and on our behalf, He does many things on our behalf. We have much to be thankful for. Our relationship with Him, He's never going to leave us. And one of the things that He's doing for us, according to His power, not by ours, is that He's making us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that may not sound extremely earth-shattering, but I think the more you meditate on it, it's really amazing what God is doing. I'm just an old sinner. You're just an old sinner. God loved you, and He saved you, and He's making you into something, molding you into His image. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As a Christian, you're a child of God, adopted, born into His family. It means something to be adopted. I was born into the family that I'm in. My parents, I guess they prayed for me to come along. You know, I know they loved me. Maybe they didn't have a choice. But you know, for an adopted family, all kidding aside, my parents loved me. It really means something for an adopted family because they didn't have to adopt the child. It was by choice. God adopted us as His children. It goes on to say this, "We're indwelt by His Spirit." It says, "Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So you begin to see this change, that God didn't just save us and give us hope maybe that something would happen one day. It's not as if we have to do a bunch of good deeds and hopefully make it across the finish line. No, it's that when you accept Christ, you become a new creature, and that you're born a child of God with a Holy Spirit living inside you that answers back, that makes you aware of this relationship with God. Do you realize the world does not have that? Nobody has that except for Christians. That's an amazing thing that we should be thankful for. And we're given an inheritance. Everybody here likes an inheritance, right? Well, except for inheritance tax. You don't want to pay that. There's no inheritance tax on heaven. Verse 17 says, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." The only reason that you belong in heaven at all is because you're a child of God. And the children live in the Father's house. That gets me excited. Okay. I can say amen. "If so be we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together with Him." And that's the first hint there. We are suffering. God's doing all these things now. But you know what He's doing in the end? It says here in verse 18, "I reckon," we do suffer, "but I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," the word "reckon" there is it's a logical conclusion. Now, this is God's word, but God's using the Apostle Paul, and He's drawing the conclusion. He's saying, yes, He went through suffering. By the way, He went through suffering that you and I will never know. Persecution for witnessing. My goodness. He says, "I reckon, I draw this conclusion that the sufferings of this present time," were they bad, Paul? Yeah, they were bad. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. "They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, he's not saying that when you compare them, that the glory's better. He said it's not even worthy to be compared. It's like comparing apples and oranges. You can't even compare it. Because when I meditate on what God is doing, essentially, verse 19, "the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Paul is saying this. He's looking forward to what God is doing in him. Look down at verse 28 as we draw to a close. There's much he goes into here about the all of creation looking forward to you being made like Jesus Christ. By the way, you yearn and groan and you want to do better. And we as Christians, "Lord, help me to do better. And I'm trying, and I want to be more faithful in my prayer life. I want to read the Word of God more. I want to conquer this anger problem." It's not just you. It's also the angels in heaven, and it's God. But it says it's also creation itself groaneth, looking forward to the manifestation of the sons of God. Because there's this point in history that when God sets all things right and makes you like Jesus Christ, that then even creation will be released from the curse of sin. And so God is doing this on our behalf. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. That's you, if you're saved. He knew you ahead of time, that you'd accept Him. And this was His plan, that when you got saved, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm not the oldest sibling in my family. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Because my sibling that's here is my sister. Should I say? I'm sorry, sister. But I'm not the oldest brother. I think it's an interesting thing that happens in families when there's the oldest brother. And they kind of set the stage. They set the expectations. They're the fastest. They're the smartest. They're the most driven. And it seems like all of the other siblings, you know this, you see this. It's like a theme in literature and movies. All the other siblings are trying to live up to this bar, this immeasurable bar that they can't quite reach of their older sibling. You know who our oldest sibling is, the firstborn among many brethren? Jesus Christ. We as Christians are not measuring up to any other Christian. It's not as if we say, man, if I could just become like that person, if I could just become like that person. Listen, on their best day, they're just more like Christ. So tell you what, let's focus on what God is making us into, and that's into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's not as if we keep failing and we'll never reach there. No, no, friend. We can, by God's grace, become more like Him in this life. And one day when you step into eternity, God's work will be done. And this thing that He's been doing throughout all of your life, building something in you, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed and you will be like Jesus Christ. Now, if you can't be thankful for that, then we need to meditate on it some more. That's what God is doing on your behalf. And nobody else in the world can say that except for children of God. You know, thankful thoughts really will direct our spirit. You know what the value of a thankful spirit is? A thankful spirit can really carry us through many things in life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18, I'm going to turn there real quickly as I close. I thought I had it copied down. Proverbs 18. Verse 24. Excuse me, 14. It says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A spirit of man shall sustain his infirmity. Christian, you know what that means? It means that when you and I, when we think these thankful thoughts, we remind ourselves, we're not coming up with things. Okay, this is not Scientology. This is truth. And when you focus on these truths that God has done for you, that He has promised to you, that He's doing on your behalf, you know what it does? It shores up your spirit. It gives you a thankful spirit so that come what may, you can make it. It can carry us through the worst circumstances, sicknesses, trials, and struggles, because the spirit of man sustaineth his infirmity. Infirmities will come tomorrow, but Christian, you can still be thankful. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. I pray, God, that it's been an encouragement tonight. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be more thankful on a daily basis. We truly need to. You deserve it. Thank You for meeting with us tonight. Dear Lord, I just pray that You'd bless each family that's here, each individual that's here. Draw us to Yourself. In Your name I pray. Amen. You know, as we close, I'd like to go ahead and sing a song together. I hope you can sing this from your heart, that you're a born-again child of God. We're going to sing The Family of God. I think it's in the inside cover of most of the blue hymnals. The blue hymnals should have it there. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. By the way, somebody told me before, he says, well, you know, there's a Scottish proverb that says we're all God's children. And I told him, I said, well, Jesus said you have to be born again to be a child of God. And if you're a born again child of God, you're part of the family of God. Let's go ahead and sing this together and sing out if you will. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Let's sing it together. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Thanks for coming tonight, folks. You're dismissed.